I want to get started today by taking a little hand-raising poll. I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and you raise your hand if this applies, okay? Is that simple enough? We understand? Here's the first question. How many of you have ever had something stolen from you? Raise your hand if you've had something stolen. Let's be a little more specific. How many people have had money stolen? Anybody had money stolen? How about a bike, a bicycle? Could be a motorcycle, I guess, too, but have a bike stolen. Anybody ever have an automobile stolen? Don't see any hands for that. I've had one broken into. Oh, there is one here. Okay. I've had one broken into and some things stolen out of it. They were disappointed when they found out they couldn't get the radio, but it ruined it for me. How many have ever had your home broken into? Some people have had that. My brother had that a few years ago. There's actually a story that I read about years ago where there's a couple who received these NFL tickets in the mail for a playoff game, and they didn't know where the tickets came from, so they started to ask around. They asked around work. They asked around their neighborhood. They asked their family, trying to figure out where these came from, and everybody they asked said, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Don't know where the tickets came from, and so they concluded, maybe if we just go to the game, the people that gave us the tickets will be sitting in the seats next to us, and they're going to surprise us, and we can thank them. So they went to the game, and nobody there knew anything about it. They enjoyed their time, and it wasn't until they came home from the game that they found out where the tickets came from. They had come from a thief who sent them the tickets, and while they were at the game, broke in and robbed them, and their house was ransacked when they got home. Pretty creative. Pretty creative. And so, friends, I think it's pretty safe to conclude that those people and you, if you've had something stolen from you, probably have felt violated, hurt, probably more than you could, than just a little bit confused as well, right? Now, let me ask another couple of questions here, and I hope you'll be just as honest with these questions as with the first or question. How many here would admit that sometime in your life, maybe in your deep, dark, distant past, but sometime in your life, how many would admit to maybe, just at one time, maybe taking a piece of candy or maybe an apple from someone's orchard or a melon from someone's garden or a grape from the produce section? How many would agree to that? Raise your hand, be honest. I'd like to introduce you now to Sergeant Jason Klein. He's usually sitting right here, and you got lucky today because he's not here, so you're okay. I remember when I was in grade school, I had a friend over. We were playing in the yard, and he had this idea, and we went a couple houses down to my neighbor, Mr. Bishop's house. And he had the idea, and I followed and did it with him. We stole rhubarb out of his garden. I'd never had rhubarb before, and I really liked it. It was really good. Well, a little later in the afternoon, after my friend was gone, I was in the front yard, and Mr. Bishop came rolling by in his van, and he stopped in front of his house, so I ducked beneath the hedges. And he slowly rolled down his window, and he said, Mark, you come out from behind those hedges. And so I stood up, and I thought, oh, I'm going to get creamed when my parents find out that I've been stealing rhubarb. And he said, Mark, he said, I saw you steal my rhubarb. He said, don't you do that again. But if you want some rhubarb, and my rhubarb, you just come to the door and ask, and you can have all you want. Friends, that's the extent of my deep, dark history in crime, right there. We're in a series that we're calling the Big Ten. Big Ten, and we're now in the season that the Big Ten in football is getting busy, but this is a different Big Ten. And today we're going to look at the eighth commandment from Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, that says, you shall not be Steelers fans. Did I get you for a minute? Okay, maybe I got that wrong. You shall not steal. It's kind of the same thing, but so it's close. Let's pray as we get ready to talk about that. God, I thank you so much that you have a sense of humor. I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that you give us guidelines for living. How to live out this life as believers in Jesus. And these commandments that were written thousands of years ago, they weren't just for the Old Testament. They're meant to guide our life today. And this is an important one again. So I ask God that you would speak to our hearts on this thought of stealing. And that we would gain from you what we need to gain from you. Speak in the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. Friends, it's amazing the number of ways that someone can steal. I looked up the word steal in Webster's New World Thesaurus, and I found there are 98 synonyms to the word steal, stealing, and stolen. 98 words that mean something like that. It's amazing how many ways a person can think up to steal or rip somebody off. I'm going to share just 6 ways that people do this, but there are many more that I could share. So here's the first way that some people choose to steal: by deceiving customers. Deceiving your customers. That was a problem, get this, 3,000 years ago. In the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 5, written close to 3,000 years ago, it says, "When will the new moon be over that we may sell grain and the Sabbath be ended that we may market wheat?" And listen to this: skimping the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales. That sounds pretty current, doesn't it? Pretty current. We've had mechanics who tell us we need things fixed on our car that really don't need fixed. We've had salesmen who skip over the fine print. We actually had a car dealer sell us a car who we directly asked, "Has this been in an accident?" And he said, "No, not that I know of," when in fact he knew that it had. When I was in college, I worked at Sears to help pay for my school. I worked in the lawn and garden department the last couple of years there, and then with the large power tools doing commission sales, selling the big tractors and the big power equipment stuff on commission. And one of the things they would nag us and they would pressure us to do is to sell the pre-maintenance agreements. And if you don't know what a pre-maintenance agreement is, it's this. At least when I was at Sears, this is how it worked. You get a hold of us once a year. You think they're going to get a hold of you, but they won't. You get a hold of us once a year, and we'll check over your equipment to make sure that it's working properly, put new filters in and that kind of stuff. If you don't call us, it's not going to happen. But that's what you do. And if something breaks within the ordinary use, it has extended coverage. You can buy them for 1, 2, or 3 years. I hated those things. I didn't believe in them, and I didn't push very hard to sell them. But I had a fellow employee who was selling the pre-maintenance agreements like hotcakes. He was selling them to everyone, and one day I learned how he was making that happen. He was selling somebody a weed whacker, a weed eater, and I overheard him as he told this person, "If you buy the pre-maintenance agreement on this, everything will be absolutely covered." He said, "I mean, you can run over it with your car. You can beat it up with a bat, and it's covered." Friends, he was outright lying. It wasn't true. The maintenance agreement coverage was only for regular problems, regular use problems. And I confronted that salesman afterwards, after the guy bought the preventive maintenance agreement from him. And he said, "Hey, it's okay. I made the sale." And to top it off, this guy always wore a cross around his neck. And he would talk to me about this Christian group that he was a part of. And here he was ripping people off. Do you know what this salesman did? He stole his customers' money. That's what he did, by selling them a lie. These kinds of things happen all the time. We're not to deceive customers. Here's a second way people steal. It's by defrauding employers. Now listen, friends, we're not just talking about employee theft where you pad your expense account, you take home supplies or equipment, merchandise that's not yours, or where you use the business copier for personal copies when it's not yours to use. Now some employers allow that, but when they don't, it's stealing. But outside of those things, how about when you waste time on your job? The Bible calls that stealing. If someone's paying you for your time or me for my time, and you come in late, you leave early, you take 3 coffee breaks and go to lunch, there isn't much day left to work. And God says that's stealing. Don't do it. And here's the whole irony of that. Did you know that the power went off in Upper Sandusky today in about 1,100 homes were without power? That means that the radio station wasn't on. Do you know what I wake up to in the morning? My alarm goes off to the radio station, so I wake up at 8 o'clock. I'm supposed to be here at 8:30, so I'm late to work on the day I'm talking about not being late to work. I got here in time for the service, but it was a little bit of pressure in the morning, and I'm laughing inside. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 tells us, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men." That's our attitude and how we put in our time where we work. We don't steal time from our employers. A third way people steal is by delaying payments. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13 tells us, do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. If you have some employees or suppliers or a friend that you owe money, don't say, hey, the check's in the mail. Do it now. My brother runs his own business in Pickwell, Ohio. He runs a sign business. Pick was where I grew up, and it's become really successful. It started small. He's known all over the region now. People are coming to him for signage, and he's doing an amazing job with that. But early in my brother's business, when it was smaller than it is now, he learned he had to change his billing practices because he had people that wouldn't pay their bills or not pay them right away or on time, and it would get him into a dilemma with paying his suppliers. So he had to change his billing practice so that those purchasing signs have to pay before he will install or deliver because they can't always be trusted to pay. People couldn't be trusted to pay what they were ordering so in a timely manner, and so in that fact, they were stealing. Don't do it. If you have a bill, pay it and do it in a timely fashion. If there are payment options being offered, that's one thing. But if you're creating your own payment options, that's wrong. And if you can't pay for it, then don't order or purchase it. Fourth, people steal by defrauding on loans. Psalm 37, verse 21 says, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. You know, a lot of people have no intention of paying back. The worst loans are to friends and relatives. And this applies to anything, not just bankruptcy, anything borrowed, tools, tables, dishes, DVDs, books, anything. What's on your shelf? What's in your closet? What's in your cabinets? What's in your garage that needs to go home, that you need to go home and you need to return to somebody else? What do you think you would find if you start to look through the house? That things that you've borrowed that aren't really yours. Many of us have a lot of other people's stuff, and maybe you didn't intend to not give it back, but the fact is you haven't. And God says that's not long-term borrowing, it's stealing, and it's wrong. Fifth, people steal by defrauding or deceiving the government. Romans chapter 13, verses 6 through 7 say, this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants. Give everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Now listen, there's no reason you should overpay your taxes or not plan to try to maximize your money. There's nothing wrong with doing that, but tax evasion is illegal. And God says it's stealing. Don't do it. Don't fudge your taxes. Don't manipulate them unethically. Don't do anything that's considered illegal. A sixth way that people steal is by defrauding the Lord. God himself says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. Friends, the Bible teaches that tithing is a tenth, that's 10%. The first 10% of all that I give goes back to him in gratitude because I owe him everything. I wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for God. The first 10% of all that I make is to go back to God. He could have asked for 20% or 50%, but he didn't. He asked for 10%. I don't know why, but he did. Friends, if we're paying our bills before we pay the Lord back out of our gratitude for him and for what he has done for us and who he is, you know what? That's wrong. And another, you know, God, it's ironic how God and how the enemy works. So, but most of you know that we moved our daughter to college last week. So usually the day that we do our writing bills is on Thursday, and all day Thursday we're packing the van to get her to school. So we go to school, we're there the weekend with her, that's how it works where she's going to Cedarville College. We're spending the money we need to on that week, and I get home to do bills, and all of a sudden I hadn't written the tithe check first. And now we have 2 weeks of tithe checks to pay. And I'm like, oh, I'm scrambling. What would I do here? And I'm remembering the words in this message. And I'm like, write the check, man. That's what you do. It'll work out. Write the check. And God honors that, right? God honors that. A pastor was one time preaching and on the Ten Commandments, and a guy in his church came up to him every week after the service, and he's saying, man, you're really preaching the word in this series. I mean, it's great. I'm loving this. He said that each week after each of the commandments until this commandment, don't steal. And then the guy came up to him and said, now you've gone from preaching to meddling. It gets personal here, doesn't it, friends? Because we don't like to hear a preacher preach about the thing that's nearest and dearest to us, our money. We love to hear people talk about other people's sin, but we don't like it when we realize, hey, I'm breaking the eighth commandment when I'm not tithing. And God says, you're robbing me if you're not tithing, and it's not just as important as any of the other of the commandments. Friends, stealing is really a matter of honesty. So if we want our heart in a place not to steal, then we need to answer the question, why should I be honest and not steal? So here are four answers to that question. Why be honest and not steal? One, I'm being watched by God. I'm being watched by God. This isn't a creepy, he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Santa Claus kind of watching. It's not like that. I think that song sounds kind of weird. But anyway, it's just a matter of the truth. There's nothing that you'll ever do. There's nothing you'll ever say or think that God is not aware of. God's aware of all of it. People steal because they think they can get away with it, and they think nobody's going to know about it. If you knew when you stole something like towels from the hotel that everybody else was going to know about it, would you steal? Not likely. So here's what happens. Satan comes along and he says, and Satan likes to speak in first person, okay? So he'll say these thoughts in your head like, hey, nobody's gonna know. Besides, I owe it to myself. I'm paying that hotel enough money that they can go without a couple of towels. Or that employer has been ripping me off. I should be paid more anyway. It's okay if I take a little bit of the equipment home. Nobody's ever gonna know. No one's ever going to miss it. Nobody's ever gonna find out. Wrong. The most important person knows. God knows. He's the one that you're going to have to give an account to, not anybody else. And friends, he knows. Job 34, verses 21 through 22 say, for God watches how people live. He sees everything they do. No darkness is thick enough to hide the wicked from his eyes. Nothing escapes God's view. I may fool other people. I may fool the government. I may fool my insurance company when I turn in a dishonest claim. David, I would never do that to you with your new insurance company, by the way. But I may try to do that. I'll have to try to explain to him why I stole something that wasn't mine and steal. Clearly, I may try to do that, but I'm not going to get away with it. And get this, if you're a parent, it's not just God who's watching, but your kids are watching you. Your kids are watching you. They're going to be watching you. Your values are caught from you much more than they're ever taught from you. If you teach them values, but you don't live the values that you're teaching, they're not going to get that. They're going to get what you live. What is my lifestyle teaching my kids? One of the greatest gifts that you can give your kids, friends, is integrity. Integrity in everything you do. That's a great, great blessing to live before your kids. And as a Christian, you're being watched by unbelievers in this world. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The world's watching. There are people that you work with who, you know, they may not like your personality, they may disagree with your faith, but you know what? They better respect your integrity. They better be able to respect the way that you choose to live your life with integrity. Every time you love with integrity, I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to cheat, I'm not going to steal, you're giving a witness to the world for Jesus. Here's a second reason why I should be honest and not steal. It's because I will reap what I sow. I will reap what I sow. Galatians 6:7 tells us this. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. You can count on this, friends. It's a law of the universe. If I sow corn, I'm not going to reap green beans. I'm going to reap corn. Whatever you give out in life is what you're going to get back. If I cheat other people, I'm going to get cheated. God says it will happen, and you can count on it. If I want to take advantage of other people, I'm going to get taken advantage of. I'll reap what I sow. On the other hand, this will work well for you if you sow well. If you're honest and you maintain integrity in all your decisions, God says he will make sure that you're blessed. Whatever you sow is what you reap. Proverbs 21, verse 6 says, wealth created by a lying tongue is a vanishing mist and a deadly trap. Let me say that one more time in case you missed it. Wealth created by a lying tongue is a vanishing mist and a deadly trap. God says it's not worth it, and you'll eventually be found out here on earth or when you stand before God someday, so why take the risk? What is it that motivates dishonesty and stealing anyway? Three things. One is greed. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows." Stealing is the idea or the myth that we can get something for nothing. That idea can feel irresistible sometimes. It's the same reason why some people gamble or play the lottery. I want to get something for nothing. Easy money. And that's why God says we shouldn't gamble. He doesn't want you to depend on a casino or a lottery or a game. You don't get something for nothing. There is no free lunch if it's an illegitimate lunch. God says you get what you pay for, you reap what you sow. A second thing that motivates stealing is laziness. It's that whole idea of getting something you don't have to work for. And if I can pull that off, if I can pull it off with a few shortcuts and I can get it dishonestly, well, who's really going to get hurt? So here's a scenario for you to ponder, all right? What if you're working a job, it's the end of the day, you're counting out the cash drawer, and there's an extra $100. An extra $100, right? You count it 4-5 times, and sure enough, somebody's overpaid somewhere. There's an extra $100. Nobody else is around. And let's say that there's no way anybody else is ever going to find out. Do you take it? Do you take that extra $100? Now, the greedy and the lazy answer to that is yes, because you've bought into the something for nothing lie, right? Nobody's going to know it's something for nothing. That's a lie. The integrity answer is no way, because it's stealing. And even if nobody else knows, you know what? You know. And God knows. The third thing that motivates people to steal is pride. Friends, somehow in our warped sense of values, we sometimes get a thrill out of conning or working somebody else. For some people, there's an excitement about it. It's not that they need more money. It's not that they need to save more money. It's the thrill of hey, I really got one over on them, right? You've heard people say before, I got a real steal today. Haven't you? Have you heard of that? They're proud of it. And what they're saying is I just worked somebody. I worked a deal that's probably not quite fair on their end, but to my advantage, and I kind of got a real thrill out of that. And what's wrong with paying someone something that it's worth? If you're actually taking advantage of somebody else, you've worked this deal, but they're really being, what's wrong with just paying them what it's worth? In reality, it doesn't show superior intellect to work somebody over. It proves inferior character. Now, that's not to say that it's wrong to find a good deal. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, you won't find this one on your message outline or on the screen because I added it later on, but you can write it down if you want to look it up later. Matthew 10, 16 says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves, so be as shrewd as snakes and as harmless as doves. Essentially, friends, it's not biblically wrong for you not to allow yourself to be taken or to find a good deal, but it's also not right for you to take someone else just because you can get away with it. Be shrewd, But be harmless. Don't hurt someone else. Don't rip somebody off just because you can get away with it. That's wrong, and it's breaking this eighth commandment. Have you ever watched the show American Pickers? Anybody seen the show American Pickers? I don't watch on a regular basis, but I've caught an episode from time to time. For some reason, when I get my oil changed, it's playing in the shop a lot. So I've seen it in the shop where I'm getting my oil changed and seen it from time to time. And if you know what that show is, it's these two guys, they go on the road and they go to these antique shops and people's houses and who are like hoarders and stuff. And they try to find these good deals on antiques and just these really cool things they know that they can resell and make profit off of. It's kind of this business they've done. It's kind of fun to watch. But you know, there have been a couple times that I've watched that show and I'm watching these guys and they're bargaining with somebody and I realize they have the opportunity to rip that person off. That person doesn't really know what they've got, but the guys on the show, they know their stuff. They know that what they're holding is pretty valuable. I've watched them give them a higher price than they need to. And I'm like, whoa, that's pretty cool. Now, I don't know these guys. I don't know them at all. They I'm sure they're as shrewd as snakes. I'm sure they're not always as harmless as doves, but there's at least been times where they've honored the person they're buying from. They could have gotten it for less, and they choose not to. And I think that has integrity. And I respect that. I think that's a really cool thing that I watch them do. Let's go to the third reason that we should be honest and not steal, and it's this: dishonesty damages my character. You see, dishonesty will shrink your soul to the size of a pea. Jesus says in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? It's not worth it. You might be getting dishonest gain, but you may gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul in it, oh my gosh, it's not worth it. I can probably give you half a dozen ways that you can make a lot of money really quick. They're all dishonest, but you'll make money really quick. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet to forfeit his soul? Proverbs 10 verse 2 says, wealth you get by dishonesty will do no good, but honesty can save your life. Jesus says that Satan is a thief. And it says in John chapter 10 verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life, is what Jesus says. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Stealing, friends, is pairing with Satan, not with God. God is always truthful. He's always honest. He's never dishonest. So every time someone makes the decision to steal, it doesn't matter how significant or insignificant, they're choosing to side with the devil rather than with God. The devil wants you to steal because every time that you do, you become a little more like him. He's a thief, he's the father of thieves, and he's the father of lies. Every time you or I are making a decision about stealing or not, we're deciding either to go God's way or to go the devil's way. Whether we want to be like God more or we want to be like the devil more, the devil's a thief, and God is the truth, and there is no deception in him. Some make the excuse, well, you just can't make it in the marketplace today if you don't cheat just a little bit. And you know what? You are dead wrong. You are dead wrong. The fact is that integrity is a business, and business pays. Customers want to return to a company that they know they can trust. There was a study done of 50 of the most profitable corporations in America. And one thing they all had in common, all of them, was this moral code of ethics, every one of them. When you have a reputation that we won't rip you off, you know what? People respect that and they become repeat customers. For your own sake, maintain integrity. Don't let anybody buy your soul for just a few bucks, friends. Here's a fourth reason that we should be honest and not steal, is God will reward my honesty. God will reward us in this life and in eternity. Proverbs 28:20 tells us, a faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. Friends, honesty leads to a full life. Why? Because you don't have skeletons in your closet. But if you're trying to get rich quickly, you're going to fall into problems, and this text tells us that you won't go unpunished. Now, and first hearing that verse, you might think you're saying God's going to punish me for not for striving to get rich quick. Well, yes, there's going to be consequences if your whole focus is on riches at any expense, but you'll bring the punishment on yourself. Getting should never be anybody's goal. The greatest riches you're ever going to receive in life is when your goal is Jesus. I've known plenty of people who've made money and made it quick, and do you know what? Without Jesus, every one of them is floundering through life, trying to understand why the riches didn't give the payoff that they expected. No, if your goal is to get riches, you bring the punishment on yourself. God doesn't need to do anything. But if your goal is being a faithful man, if your goal is being a faithful woman of God, well, then you're in for a great reward. Some of that's going to be a reward right here on earth, but the greatest reward is going to be when you're in eternity someday. I've said this before, but friends, on this earth, it's preparation ground for eternity. You're going to have a short life here. You may get 60, 70, 80, 90 years on this earth if you're really blessed, but you're going to spend millions of years. You're going to spend forever in eternity in one of two places. If you've made Jesus your goal, you've received him as your Savior and Lord, putting your trust in him, you'll spend that forever in heaven. And that beats any riches you'll get on this earth. It truly, truly does. Jesus says in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. If I respond correctly and I'm honest with my money, and with my reputation of other people, I don't steal ideas, money, property, time, etc. God says there will be great rewards for us in heaven. Well done. You've shown you can be faithful in small things. I will trust you in greater ones. Come and join in your master's happiness. So how can we prepare for when we face the final exam in life, and we stand before God someday around this area of this eighth commandment, you shall not steal? Well, very quickly, here are a few things. One, make restitution when possible. Make restitution. A good example of this in the Bible is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is remembered for being this little short fellow, and when Jesus came to town one day, Zacchaeus wanted to see him so badly, but he couldn't because of the crowd, so he climbed up on a tree so that he could look down and see Jesus as he's walking by. And what does Jesus say when he sees him? If you remember the old Zacchaeus song, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today, right? I'm coming to your house today. Friends, understand that this was quite a scandal because Zacchaeus was a dishonest tax collector. He was a stealer and a cheat. In the Roman system, the tax collectors made their money by charging extra, and then they would skim that off the top, and they would keep that for themselves to collect the money. They were the wealthiest people in town, but they were also the most hated. They were dishonest. And Jesus says, I'm going to go to this guy's home. Now, there's a very important message for us here. If Jesus picked the slimiest of all the lying, cheating, stealing scum of the day and said, there's redemption for you, then guess what? There's redemption for every thief in this room. There's redemption for every stealer, every stealer fan, right? Well, Jesus goes and has dinner with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus realizes, I've been doing the wrong thing. I've been going my way in life. I'm not going his way. I'm going to change, and I'm going to do what God wants. He says, I want to follow the Lord. If I've cheated anyone, I'm going to pay them back four times as much as what I've stolen. He puts his money where his mouth is, and he does all that. He makes restitution. Friends, maybe it's time that you need to make some restitution. Maybe you need to make a list and do what you can. Maybe you need to say, God, I want to have a clear conscience before you and before others in this area of stealing. Maybe you have some items to return, some office supplies to replace, some neighbor's tools or dishes to bring back to them. Maybe you need to write a check or two and use the opportunity to tell someone else about Jesus. Because of my relationship with Jesus, I'm trying to clean up some things in my life. And well, I need to do this, and I want to make restitution with you. Jesus has forgiven me. I hope that you'll forgive me as well. What an opportunity, right? A second response might be this. Maybe God's calling you today to give God my full tithe. God goes on to share in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. God has more promises about giving than any other thing in the Bible. And quite simply, friends, tithing is an obedience issue. It's a trust issue. If you don't obey God with the resources that he's given you and you don't trust that he'll bless you in that obedience, then you're stealing from God. It's that clear and it's that simple. And then here's a final response. Make a living honestly. Ephesians 4:28 says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Here's a great suggestion. Work as if God is your boss. Work as if you're working for the Lord, not whomever it is that's your employer at the moment. Work as if God is your boss. Make money honestly so that you can have a clear conscience when you go to bed at night, and help others with all that you have. Let's pray together. God, I know that some of us this morning have been living a life that's not quite as clear as we thought that it was in the area of this commandment. Some of us have kind of been manipulating others for our advantage, stealing from them their dignity, maybe their money, maybe their love, because we've really kind of worked them. Some of us have just been swiping some stuff from work, maybe, that we just thought, oh, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Everybody does it. Some of us have been doing different things in this area that now we kind of look at it, we're like, I kind of have to change my practice. I have to make some restitution here because I've been really missing this commandment and what it's really all about. So I just pray for sober judgment as we look at our own hearts, our own minds, our own practices, that we would look at ourselves clearly, and if there's some place of restitution that we need to make, some confession that we need to make before you or to others, that we would confess freely, that we would do all that it takes to live honestly, not to take what's not ours, not to work somebody out of what's theirs. Ours is ours, theirs is theirs, all is God's. So let us manage things the way you would have us do, in a way that shows integrity in every area of our lives. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I picked up on something this week as I was thinking about this commandment of not stealing. It kind of wraps around all of the other commandments in some way. And I brought up the commandments on my Bible app just to tell you what I'm talking about. I am the Lord your God. You must have no other gods but me. We can't steal God away. You have no other idols before you. We can't steal God's position. You must not misuse my name. We can't steal the name of the Lord for something else. Remember to observe the Sabbath day. We can't steal God's day. Honor your father and mother. We can't steal the position of honor that our parents are supposed to have. Do not murder. You can't steal someone's life. You must not commit adultery. You can't steal someone's spouse. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You can't steal the truth. You must not covet what's your neighbor's. You can't steal what belongs to your neighbor. This idea of stealing is all wrapped up in all of the commandments, and it all has to do with the position of our heart, because we steal those things away trying to get something for ourselves. It comes out of greed. And like I've told you before, in the word sin, the letter I'm in the middle of all of my sin. It's that greed. So when we start to steal away God's position as our Lord, we steal away his name and use it for vanity. We steal what belongs to our neighbor. All those things start to corrupt our inside, right? And so we need to live all parts of the commandments. And this is a very important one, that we honor everyone with what's theirs, what's ours, that it's all God's. Hope to see you all this afternoon at 3 o'clock as we celebrate baptism. We'll see you then.